So the title of this sermon is Growing Our Relationship with God. Growing Our Relationship with God. So we are God's children, growing more like Him every day. And the key component to that is growth in our relationship of love with Him. God loves us. And He specially picked us out of billions of people He could choose. I don't know what he was thinking. And called us to be his first fruits. us poor, lowly type people here. Let's account for what God does for us. We're going to take a review here of what he does for us, just a high level review. And notice this list, there's no way we can ever create an exhaustive list that's fully accurate to really point out all the things he does do for us. I do want to point out, though, that every one of these I'm going to list for you, and you probably won't be able to write fast enough to keep up with me, but every one of these I'm going to list for you are actions. These are things that he actually did. So that's the key point for this section of the message here. These are actions. First, he gave us his son as a sacrifice to cleanse us from sins and bring us to him even when we were still sinners. He gave us his word, the Bible, to help us see and change and become a member of his family. And of course, see the future, his prophecy. And he then makes the Bible prophecy fulfilled. He makes it happen. He rescues us individually, when needed, from our own traps of sin and bondage that we put ourselves into. He inspires us through the Holy Spirit to make healthy choices. He shows us a future that we can put our hope in. He heals our infirmities when we pray to him and when we've been anointed. He provides us our sustenance. Remember that he created the ability for and sustains all daily resources like clothes, cars, food, housing, security, on and on you can go with all the things you need, water, housing and so on. Anything that you need, he provides all of this and sustains it so that you can depend on it from one day to the next. He selects and prepares, and this one may create some arguments, he selects and prepares the perfect spouse for us. I can attest I have the perfect one. A couple of us can. Happy wife is a happy life. He blesses us with children and also with grandchildren. We have a lot of young people in this congregation, most of them not here right now. Some of them on the Zoom. He blesses us with a job and income to survive. He puts us in a country full of blessings. He protects us from Satan. He's preparing a place for us in the future so we can be with him. This is kind of a long list, but I think I've only just skimmed the surface of what God really does. Can you imagine just one thing he doesn't do or can't do? There's nothing really that he can't do. I want to point out how personal he is, how personally he really loves us. Did you know that your name, each of our names, are written in the palm of his hand? Isaiah 49:16, please. He loves us. He personally selected and called us. Isaiah 49:16. God saying, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. What walls? The issues that each of us have. are continually before him. He knows what our condition is. He also counts the hairs on our head. I think we can just perceive, just begin to perceive faintly how intensely he really loves us. Have you ever tried to count the hairs on your head? It's amazing what he does. He also provides the air we breathe, the sun and birds and flowers too. He provides everything. I saw that. Troublemaker Laura. So with all these things that God provides for us, and all the love that he shows us, and how he personally follows each of us, and everything that we do, and knows everything about us, and deep of our hearts he knows us, what can we do to love God for what he does? For all these things and more that he does to us, or for us. And there's many things that we can't even see, or even try to discuss or imagine that he does for us. You know, I think some of us can sit here and say we're alive today because of God. He did some things that kept us alive, and we probably don't even know what. Some of our childhoods were a little risky, but we're still here. He takes big actions every day. He is our shepherd. What can we do in return for his love? Well, we'll start with these simple things that I think you all will agree with. We attend with joy Sabbath services and his holy days. We read our Bibles. We give tithes with joy. We go to Bible studies. We have Bible studies at home. We do service projects. We serve people. And we pray. And we pray a lot. Those are the things we do. So these are the things we're doing now. Can we take it up a notch? Can we go one step further? As it said in the sermonette, with all our might, can we do a little more? And that's what I want to emphasize today. A few things that we can do in our lives to help grow the love for him. Much of this is a review. Many of you will recognize many of these things, but I'm emphasizing the growth of the personal relationship with God. And I have only 3 points. They're pretty simple. But I hope to review them with you, and maybe this will help inspire you to take it up a notch, your relationship with God. The first, and each one of these are extremely hard to do. These are not easy. It takes a lifetime to get these done. First, let God lead us. I didn't say follow God. I said let God lead us. The let's very important. The world is so full of things, so full of riches, it's very hard to put all that aside and let God lead us. Get out of the way and ask God to open our eyes. Knock on his door and watch to see him and let him lead us with his rod and staff. Follow him with our lives. We've had a message before about rod and staff. Right? The rod is for, as we were mentioning, is for, in the sermonette was mentioned that we have to go through a little bit of suffering, a little bit of trials, and sometimes we're corrected. And the staff is to measure with. He measures our progress. He measures our growth. So let his rod and staff lead us and follow him with our lives. Have our lives follow him. You know, God is right there in front of us with a loving solution to our problems. He's right there. He's right in front of us. He knows everything about us. I'll tell you a little story about Hagar. She was estranged from Sarai and was thirsting in the desert with her new son, Ishmael. Hagar couldn't see the well that God provided for her in Ishmael was right there. She couldn't see it. She was in great distress and feared both her and her child would die in the desert. Turn with me to Genesis 21 and verse 19, and we'll pick up the story. She didn't even realize it was there. And that's the point. Is there anything in our life stopping us from seeing that God is right in front of us with a solution? And he had the perfect solution for her. Genesis 21:19 says, "Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave it to the lad, and gave the lad a drink." God is right in front of us many times. It's just humility and patience we have to use to see his paths. He clears a measured path for us with his rod. He corrects us with his staff, and he measures the way forward in a comfort, giving us comfort of his loving hand. He is our loving Father, and as a loving child of his, can we joyfully follow him? Can we get out of our own ways and joyfully follow him? Making space for God in our life builds a serious respect and love for God and engages your heart to build affection for God's loving hand guiding us in today's world. The more you do this, the more you build that affection towards God. And just remember, you can start on that path right now. You can start today. Matthew 7:7 says you can start today. This is easy. Put your life into his hands. Let him help you make decisions. Let him direct your ways. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Diligently placing your heart's intents, to find his paths, and with faith, walk through the doors that he opens. Diligently placing your heart's intents into his hands, and watch and see. And I think you'll find the blessings he pours out on you will astound you. Revelation 3:20. Part of the blessing he's going to give you is a closer relationship with him. In Revelation 3:20, he says, even though he's speaking to the church there, we did a message recently that says he's really speaking to all of us, in all churches, at all phases in our life. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." God wants that kind of relationship with you, a deep relationship, and wants to dine with you on his word and on his love. We just have to seek him. We have to hear him. We have to look for him and open the door. And build that relationship and that affection for him. You can start doing that right now. John 14:23. You can start doing it now. As we do that and build that affection for him, as we see him work in our lives and give us blessings and open doors for us and pour out his blessings on us, it may not just be physical blessings. There's going to be spiritual. There's going to be knowledge, understanding. And your heart's intents will eventually start turning more and more to him. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him." You're building love. "And we will come to him and make our home with him." That's a relationship with God and God the Father. That's the relationship that we really want. We just have to get out of our own way and work our heart's intents so that we're building a relationship with Him that grows love. And while we're doing that, the way we can get out of our way is to keep the enemy away. Fear is the enemy. Don't fear. Have faith and live His word. This kind of love that I'm talking about helps you to overcome the world. The first step to overcoming, to being obedient to God, is to love God. That's the first commandment, above anything else. You got to start loving God. Then you can do all the other commandments. But you got to really love God to be obedient. And you got to build that love in this world today, because it's not like the world that the Bible was written in, agricultural-based societies. It was not built, written in a city-like scenario. It was built with agriculture. And in agriculture, you're always depending on your sheep, you're depending on your crops, you're depending on the grapevines, the trees, you're depending on the weather, and all of that is in God's domain. Today, we depend on electric companies, nuclear energy, we depend on factories and other things that are constantly growing and very mechanized, and we don't feel his loving hand in our lives as much. So we have to find a way to open up to Him. Keep the enemy away, don't fear, have faith, live His word, and overcome the world. Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. Building this kind of love helps you to be an overcomer. You have to overcome the ways of this world, as was brought up in the sermonette message. And when you go to Romans 8:37, he says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." We started off by talking about how God loves us individually, how much He loves us in ways we can't even perceive. We have to build our love for Him. Realize that God is even closer than we can see or believe, seeking God and being open to Him. Involving Him directly in our lives builds the father and child relationship. When you're growing up in a family and you're a child, you have a father and child relationship, and it's very close. And it's very, you do things for your father, he does things for you. It's very close and it's very personal. That's what we're looking for. It's what God's looking for with us. Very close and personal father-child relationship. The scriptures in many places tells us that God is in us through the Holy Spirit, and we can share the divine nature with Him and be more like Jesus Christ every day. It gives us great joy and peace to have Him deeply in our lives. So that was my first point. The second point, take a breath, and we move on to the second point here in a minute. The things that we can do, that's the second point, to grow our personal relationship with God, is we start by realizing the world that we live in doesn't believe in God. It spends its energy putting itself in place of God as a sole solution for all our issues. It influences our thinking and our perception every day because of the bountifulness that God has blessed this planet, this country with, or the planet with. We don't have to rely on anything other than what's available right in front of us, and that influences our thinking. Our world sends that kind of message, that God is limited to a faraway place and not included in life. That's totally untrue. He's very powerful. He's the creator and sustainer of everything near us, all the time watching us. As we covered at the very beginning of the message, there are a ton of things that he does. And so we must truly believe that he can do the impossible things too in this world. How many times have you and I been in an impossible situation that have no perceived worldly solutions? You look and you say, how can I deal with this? It's impossible. But then a miracle happens. God breaks down the wall in front of us with something that we never even saw. Similar to what happened to Hagar similar to what Isaiah 59 said, when it said that our names are written on his hand and he knows our walls. He knows what we're up against, and then he can save us. So the second point is, God does the impossible. God does the impossible. We'll look at a few examples, biblical examples, but I'm sure in our lives we've seen some impossible things. Has any doctor or any hospital in this world in the past 2,000 years, has anybody found a way to heal a withered hand without replacing it? Just making it whole. Take a withered hand and make it whole. Has anybody done that? Any doctor, any science. And by the way, I Googled it, so I know the answer. I went to the all-knowing internet and I Googled it. And I can tell you, it hasn't happened yet. But all the technology and science, we can't make a withered hand whole, even in this modern age. Matthew 12:13. This is the example I'm referring to. Many of you probably know and may already be there. Matthew 12:13. But what did Jesus do? What does God do? The impossible things, the things you can even think can be done. And there's many. I'm only going to pull out a couple examples. So Matthew 12:13 says, "Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other one." Jesus did this many times. Healing a man's withered arm to make it whole is impossible. So is feeding people from just a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish. Thousands of people. He did it a couple times. He did it for 4,000 people and for 5,000 people. Also, walking on water. Has anybody done that? Search the internet. I don't think, the only way you can walk on water is if you have a thin film of water with a walkway underneath it. And so you're going to get a little wet on your foot, but you look like you're walking on water. But there's no way to walk on water. Literally, nobody's done it. God does the impossible things. We can't realize ourselves, as this world doesn't believe in God. They don't even know God. Many examples of in the Bible are talking about what God does, and we can't believe. What we can't believe. He does, meaning what God does, and we can't believe that he does it, because it's impossible, but he did it anyway. Parting the Red Sea. Nobody's done that, except for on television. God is the God of impossible things that only he can do. So we have to think out of the box. We have to have faith and wait and see what he can do in your life. Because many times we get in these impossible situations and we look and say, I'm just stuck here forever. There's no way I'm going to get out. And then, all of a sudden, something breaks. You're looking, you're praying, you're looking forward, you change, something breaks, and open a door, and you know you can go someplace. So that's the second point. Second point is that God does the impossible. The third thing is, and by the way, it's very important to give God those challenges. Give him opportunity and wait for a solution, I'm sure. That Moses didn't just talk over the Red Sea and it just parted instantly. Probably had to wait. So do the Israelites. I think they had to wait. We have to wait. Just a little bit. sometimes a lot. I think some of us have examples where we've waited years, many years. The third thing we can do is to grow a divine mindset that we share with God, living the kingdom of God attitude today. We can own our relationship with God, we can internalize his teaching in our hearts, and we can stand up for the truth. We have to have that personal son and father relationship, personal relationship between a child and the father. And we can have a closer relationship with God doing that. Mark 12, please. It's got to be in our hearts. We can have the brain knowledge. And by the way, he'll give us brain knowledge. He'll give us a lot of knowledge to understand his word, to understand how to apply it. But we have to have the heart engaged too. And so in Mark 12, in verse 32, thirsty today. Jesus had just got through telling them about the two great commandments. But the scribe responded to him and said, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he." What the scribe is doing here is saying something different than what all the others. He's not just repeating what it is. He's showing that he understands it, he's internalized it, and he owns it. Jesus sees this. This makes this next verse a little more understandable, I think. In verse 33, it says, "And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now, verse 14, I'm sorry, 34. "Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" When we own God and our relationship with him, we are then not far from the kingdom of God. So we internalize his commandments, we internalize his precepts, we internalize our relationship with him so that he's working, operating in our lives. So because this scribe answered from the heart and with the wisdom and with wisdom of the intent of the law, and showing that his heart's intent understood it. 2 Peter 3:18. So we got to walk forward, march forward, maybe I should say, as we are part of the kingdom that all of us together, all of us here today, have peace of Jesus Christ, God the Father, in us. We ought to march forward as though we are in the kingdom of God. So 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And I'm underlining the word grace. Grow. And also grace. Knowledge is one thing. We have to have the grace. We have to show that we've internalized it and we can be able to expound it in our actions. Like God, love shows us his love in his actions. We can grow. And we should grow. And while you're in 2 Peter, let's go to 2 Peter 1. And the reason why we can do this is because we've been given something. We've been given the Holy Spirit, been given the peace of God the Father and Jesus Christ's sacrifice. 2 Peter 1, 4 through 11. "By which we've been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises too, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature." When we come together, the divine nature should be coming out of us and exuding from us. having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, overcoming the world, overcoming ourselves, getting out of the way of ourselves. And then it goes on in verse 5 through 11, and it talks about the things that we can do. We can have diligence and virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and so on. We have to make our call in verse 10. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to go forward with a kingdom attitude. We have to have a positive, humble perspective forward, seeing doors that God has opened for us, and in faith going through them since he has done so much for us. It's true. He's done an awful lot for us. He's called us too. Look what he's given us. How great of a promise has he given us? And actually, I'll put it even more simply. Micah 6:8 makes it even more simple. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And we patiently bear trials, knowing that the trials perfect our character so that we can grow closer to him. And I know we've already read Revelation 3:20, but a few verses before that talks about the value of trials. Revelation 3, verse 18, talks about the value of trials. Calls them gold. Revelation 3:18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and with white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and they anoint your eyes with eye salve that you can see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent, and be humble, and let God in your life. Help grow your affections to him by putting your hearts and tents into living his way and letting him help you in all of the challenges in your life. So to finish here, let God lead us was the first point. Second point is realize that he does the impossible. Think out of the box. Look, he called us. He's going to make something out of us. That's something. And grow a divine mindset. Align our hearts and tents in love to him. Live as though you're in the kingdom of God. And when you do these things, you can start to build your love so that you can see God rise in your heart like a morning star. That's 2 Peter 1:19, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed. I mean, he's talking about the future, but we can do it today. Dwell the heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns, which is the coming of Jesus Christ, and the morning star rises in your heart, which is Jesus Christ. The intents of your heart need to be all about the love of God and the Ten Commandments. That's the first requirement. You've got to love God. You've got to build that love. You've got to really love him. And the precepts. And then you love the neighbors yourself. I think a lot of us know how to love our neighbors as ourselves, but really incorporating God in life now, because the world is totally rejected God, is very hard to do. So the intents of our hearts need to be all about the love of God and the Ten Commandments and His precepts and loving our neighbor as ourself. And we can build those and grow in Christ if we do these three techniques that God points out in the Bible.